Okay, let's restart. Kumar, you want to tell us what's in the present you left us?
Yep, I've left a folder as Wayne said, the presents. If you look at the first sheet, which says, these are the agenda wordings that were in front of the Interpretations Committee before. The last one, which I've said, is if you look at the proposed wording in January 2013, is what I would say is closest. I'm not saying that's the wording we should go with, but that's where it stops, and it just focuses on interest revenue and does not go into any further than that. So that was what was brought in front of the Interpretations Committee after comment letter analysis of the agenda rejection, which is reproduced on the reverse, September 2012. So it's gone through exposure after comment letters. This is what was proposed with the Interpretations Committee. The Interpretations Committee at that point didn't go ahead because of IFRS 9 and other issues which we have covered in the current paper. So this is what the genesis of the wording is at the moment. Also, the folder contains another sheet, and that relates to Agenda Paper 9. That we had our apologies and thanks to Reinhardt for pointing it out. What we had done is when we had put the IFRIC rejection wording in Agenda Paper 9, we had inadvertently picked up an earlier version. So we'll come to that when we come to Agenda Paper 9 and 10. So, Wayne, that's
Agenda. You had the same drafting error in Agenda Paper 10? Okay.
These are the two.
So I think the status of our discussion was that now that we have resolved the uncertainty about interactions between what we were doing before in IFRS 9 and concluded that they're not troublesome, that we should go ahead with the wording that we developed a year ago, which is the first sheet in Kumar's package. Reactions to that proposal, which I think is where we left the discussion before lunch. Okay, nobody, the minute I say nobody, the lights start to flash. Andrew and then Tony.
Yeah, as I said before lunch, I'm just troubled by the statement, it's not an interest expense. I'm not sure of the support for that statement or how it could be consistent with IFRS 9.
Come on,
yeah. Yeah, I understand the interest expense bit, which you're talking about, Andrew, because that's what I think Tony also mentioned with that. But that's fine. We can consider it what depending upon others. But I don't want to link it to 9 because I don't think 9 has anything to do with the presentation of this thing.
Okay.
And also we are doing it under other things. So, okay, point taken.
So what would the amendment be?
I think what Andrew is proposing is to drop that sentence.
Okay, which in the second paragraph would be which sentence?
The Interpretations Committee also noted that this amount is not an interest expense because it arises on a financial asset instead of on a financial liability of the entity.
And consequential to the following.
You'd have to also delete the next paragraph, next sentence, consequently.
Just the interest expense.
Yeah, just the interest expense. Also, we have to delete the effective interest bit because we are not just limited to effective interest anymore.
We're going to, you're proposing, or Tony is proposing, we delete the sentence. I hate doing drafting in the meeting, but I want to make sure we get it right. So we'd also have to delete the word consequently. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do with the sentence that begins consequently?
But yeah. Then remove the words or interest expense because the consequently is just following from earlier in the paragraph where you said it can't be revenue.
So delete the words or interest expense. Okay.
Something along those lines. We'll play around with those.
Andrew, does that, Tony, or Andrew, do those changes meet your
Yeah, I was going to make exactly the same point. I'm not fussed about IFRS 9. It was just interest expense is not defined. If we delete in the second sentence or interest expense, but in an appropriate classification.
But in some other appropriate classification. Yeah.
I don't think expense is helpful, just to reinforce the point. It's a debit entry.
Yeah, I had in my draft deleted or interest expense, but in some other appropriate expense classification. Okay.
Yep.
Anybody object to that? Sold American. Yeah, Philippe.
Effective, or do you delete?
No, we have to
delete it, right?
Okay. Delete effective.
Okay.
Because we have gone beyond that.
Okay.
It is. Fair enough. I was thinking that if we say interest rates, it should encompass, because we are just measuring that using the effective interest rate method.
Okay. So we leave effective.
Does it? Well. No, I'm asking this question to know whether leaving in or out effective does restrict in a way the scope of this agenda. Because if it is only about effective interest rates, it might not encompass situations where the growth rate is really negative, or it could be read as excluding that analysis, only focusing on effective interest rates. This is why I'm asking this question.
Yeah, I would have thought it was exactly the opposite, and I think that's what Sue's coming in with.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Effective includes both coupon and overall return.
Technically, it's correct. I just wonder whether it is better to specify that.
I was just thinking whether it'll cause a problem where a situation I have a negative coupon and a deep discounted bond,
yeah,
where you might inherently have a positive EIR. Yes, so I think that is the reason, Philippe. I think what we are trying to capture will get captured even under the circumstances. Because if you have a positive effective interest rate, I think people will be okay with revenue.
All right, so we leave effective in. Mikhail, did you? No, that's Philippe's. Okay. Charlotte, last call.
Same point on effective.
Okay. Reinhardt, did you want to come in, or was your light just on?
Nope.
Okay. On that basis, we will proceed unless somebody turns on another button.
Is it exposed, tentative, or what?
This has been exposed. This will be fine.
Even though it's not being exposed to the context of people responding, you haven't thought about IFRS 9 and commented on it.
But IFRS 9, what we're saying, has very little bearing on this.
I just think, just in theory, that people could have different views and they haven't come back on that.
I think, okay, let me try and sum this up a little bit, Wayne, just give the arguments. When we were looking at the original paper and what the interpretation committee told us is that we were proposing looking at possible re-exposure because we are going way beyond this.
Yeah.
This is the result of an agenda rejection that was exposed. Comment letters were got in, and this came to the interpretations committee then. The IC didn't proceed with this because of the finalization of 9, not for any other reasons. I don't think those reasons apply any longer. And so with this one, whether it needs re-exposure, I would have less sympathy with this bit being needing re-exposure, but that's something I think the IC needs to agree on.
I'm at the committee's disposal. Martin?
Understood, fine. What is with IFRS 15? Because that's just the next question. We are only referring here to IRS 18.
Because that's the question where we are answering that. 15,
yeah.
We haven't been asked, and it hasn't been. If it comes up, yes, we will have to answer that.
Yep.
John?
I don't think we need to re-expose
this to saying that this isn't revenue. It's quite clear it isn't revenue. So just, we've already exposed it and got comments, and that's all we're saying. All we're now doing is issuing that after the delay in issuing it because of IFRS 9 finalisation, so I don't see a need to re-expose it.
Okay. Show of hands on re-exposure. Those who want to re-expose?
One.
Andrew, did you were you tempted there or something? Okay. One. You had that look. Yeah, you had that kind of arm twitching thing there. Too bad we don't have video on this. We can listen. Okay.
Thank
we're
you.
Done.
We could hear show from
okay. Now we go back to where we were before we broke the line.